Welcome to another episode of the Deeper Than Dope podcast. I'm super excited to have Matt Thomas on the podcast. What's up, Matt?
What up, dude? How are you?
Dude, we already have been talking for 15 minutes. I'm like, let's pause, hit the brakes here.
Yeah.
Get it on the show. Matt and I, so Matt's background, I'll let you give your own background, but we talk, man, I feel like every week just venting and supporting each other and how shitty business is at times, but also how great it can be. He owns Cookie Co. And obviously I'm with Dirty Dough. So, but Matt, get into you a little bit before the Cookie Co. days.
Yeah, bro. So yeah, it's funny because a lot of times you'll call me and you'll be telling me something going on. I'm like, did you just read my text messages? Like, I'm like, sometimes I swear you're paralleling like some of my things that I'm going through. So no, but yeah, so my background, similar to yours, dude. I started in door-to-door sales. I did home automation. I did, back in the day, Pinnacle Security. I started selling alarm systems door-to-door. Tucson, Arizona was my first summer back in 2009. And did that for a number of years through college and then transitioned into solar. Did solar for a number of years. I tried to get out of the door-to-door world and get a real job. And that real job was working for somebody who didn't know anything about business or life or management. And I was making less money than I was in a summer of sales.
Wait, what did you start working?
I worked for Verizon Wireless on the corporate side. I actually worked as an account executive, so I did enterprise level sales. And it was just a grind, dude. And it was like not enjoyable. It was just tedious. Like you had a quota, you had, oh, the shareholders want us. I'm like, ugh, it was so gross. Like, so not me, bro. So like, I'm like very much like anti-authority, like F the system, right? So it was just like, I can't do this. I'm dying. Like on my, literally, I was like 1 week away from hitting my 1 year anniversary. And they were like, hey, we're going to send you to Irvine. We want you to get into the management program because you've been leading the region for sales. We want you to help manage. And it was like a week until my 1 year anniversary with the company. And I went to lunch with my buddy. My buddy Nate, he actually tells the story. Whenever we go to dinner with people, he's like, bro, I got the best quit story ever, right? And tells about like, the day that I quit because I went to lunch. And I was like, I think I'm going to quit today. They're like, what? And I'm like, yeah, I'm done. I can't still go back. And I basically go and tell Ashley, I said, hey, Ashley shouldn't sit in, but I told my manager, I said, hey, like, today's my last day, I'm done. What are you going to do? I was like, damn, I'm just going to go sell solar. I hate this. This is not for me. Went did solar for a number of years, and it was awesome. I loved it. It was a really, really cool experience. And then I got into branding. My background, my degree was in marketing and branding, and that's kind of what I always enjoyed, that creative flow. I love that. So I started with a couple of guys. They had already started a company. And they brought me on to help with branding and business development. And I did that for a while, for about 4 years, until COVID happened. And it just destroyed our business. And it was like, we're going to try to get through this, but we don't know. And when branding and marketing goes, because consumerism dies, like the business supply chain of our revenue just dried up. And my wife and I had just signed a lease in October of 2019 on our building that I'm in now to open up our first cookie store. The goal is to be open in March, April of 2020. And like everything else, California especially, things shut down. So we pivoted and literally started selling cookies from our garage on Instagram from like April until July, March until July. Yeah, bro. So my wife had a decent little following on social media, like 20 or 30,000 people on IG. And she's like, I'm going to just try to do this on Instagram until we get our store open because we need money. Like I lost my job, you know, and it was a startup company. So my pay wasn't consistent. It wasn't great. So what I did have disappeared, and it was like, we've got to do something, right? So I was trying to do some consulting for a few companies that reached out to me, and we started just doing cookies. And so she put on her Instagram, and she sold like 18 or 19 boxes her first week, you know, $15 a box. And I was like, oh, cool, you know, and the next week it was 30, then 37, then 50.
Delivery, or is this like
no, so we set up like a Costco table. We'd write your name on the box, and you'd come to our house, and our neighbors thought we were like a trap house, dude. They thought we were like selling drugs because we had cars pop up, walk into our garage, grab their box, take off. It got to the point where we were doing about 300 boxes a week the month before we opened our doors. And then we took a break for about 3 weeks before we opened to prep for the grand opening. But looking back on it, dude, those were such simple times. Go into Restaurant Depot with my truck and put in 1,000 pounds of flour and 800 pounds of brown sugar and powdered sugar in the back of my truck like this, you know? And it was crazy that we were able to do that. And it got to the point where, like I said, we were doing 300 boxes of cookies a week from our house, you know? And my wife, just little regular, you know, regular home residential oven, you know? The thing burnt out twice. We had to pay a maintenance guy to come fix it, you know, because we're using it 14, 15 hours a day, you know? And so it was just, it was crazy, you know? Yeah. So, yeah.
So Dirty Dough was actually very similar in that it started in a college. So when I invested, because I initially invested, the dude Tyler, I went to high school with him, he's my little brother's friend, didn't know him so super well. He told me he was in a commercial kitchen. I invest. A few months later, I go down to check it out. He's in his apartment, dude, like ASU, like shitty apartment. I go in there and I like open up the oven. It's like, ah! I was like, bro, where's your commercial kitchen? He said, did I tell you we had a commercial kitchen? I told you you were going to get one. I was like, bro, yeah, right. And that's what we did. And then we also opened up in March of 2020, the first storefront.
Yeah.
Wednesday was like COVID shutdowns and this grand opening stuff. Friday. So when did you guys actually end up opening? You said in June?
August. We sold cookies from March until July, and we opened like August 13th, 2020.
Which was our first day. Really good to kind of, I guess, test it out.
Yeah, I mean, it was good because we had a decent, we had a loyal following, you know, in our community, and so we had some really good support when we opened up, and it was basically like.
Rewind 10 seconds. I think maybe if you're, are you on your phone?
Yeah.
Was a call coming through? And
let me put on Do Not Disturb real fast. Okay, Do Not Disturb's on. No, so we were, like I said, we opened up our doors and the goal was to just like try to survive the pandemic. And locally, luckily, those 3-4 months of doing it from our garage, we had built up a decent little support group in our community. You know, we had regulars throughout the week who would come every week because like it was COVID shutdowns. So it was like something for people to do, you know? So looking back on it, it was kind of like a great way to build your business is if you, during the pandemic, started doing stuff online or from home, like restaurants were shut down. People didn't have anywhere to go. People were working from home. This was like something they enjoyed doing, you know? So when we finally opened our doors, we're like, set a couple of Hail Marys and like, all right, let's try this business, like, brick and mortar thing, you know, and we opened and had a line around the block for the first, you know, 3-4 weeks we opened, you know, and things were awesome, you know, so yeah, it was wild.
Dude, the cookie world, man, that is fun to kind of, when I bought Dirty Dough as well, I was in San Marcos, California, and within a month, I'd never even really been doing any cookies. I was like, I want to do a commercial kitchen here, and we just opened up. But yeah, it was running down to the Restaurant Depot and just like, scrambling like a madman, you know, there's no processes, nothing. But even then, it's like, wow, that was a lot more simple than what the hell I'm doing right now. Because at least I was there and I figured it out. Now I'm just like, open the gate.
The thing, I actually just did like an Instagram story this morning, and it was basically like, you know, the things that business owners never talk about. And it's like, rarely do people talk about the difficulties of being a business owner because people don't want to be vulnerable, right? So they like have this like the thought of like, my life's awesome, I own a business, I'm successful, but also that's like what people think. They're like, oh, you own a business, you must be killing it. It's like, dude, I literally am just trying to get 3 hours of sleep a night that I'm not talking and turning and trying to solve all the world's problems, right? Like being a business owner is very rewarding, but it's also very challenging, right? And the victories are short-lived. Like by the time that you got, you know, a good email or a text or a phone call that was awesome, you're like, great. And then you have six fires you got to put out, right? And I mean, there's pros and cons, you know, but there's so many more pros, I think, than cons. Unfortunately, the cons take more of your time.
Yeah, that's something. I mean, being in Utah and Dirty Dough has a decent brand now. And oh, you must be crushing it. I'm like, it depends on how you measure crushing it. If we're open stores, sure, but like, do I have a bajillion dollars in the bank and am I sleeping good at night? No. So like, you have no idea, you know, people just have no idea. And it's just the outward. And I'm like, and then it makes me think, how many businesses do I think, oh, these guys have it perfect? And I'm like, I just have no idea. You know, they have no problems. When I was in Turkey doing this transplant in Istanbul, I don't know, there's Syrian refugees everywhere. Like, I was showing my wife pictures actually just last night. And, it, you know, your picture, your phone, it shows you the time. 4:30 a.m. 3:30 a.m., 5 o'clock at 5 a.m. Like, I was out the whole night. This was on a Tuesday night. There's kids everywhere, and it was just like taking them to stores so they could buy some food. And they all just sit there, you know, and they're like that. And I'm trying to talk with them. I don't speak their language. They don't speak my language. They don't speak the local language. And then it hit me, and I'm just like, you're looking at like an American tourist, like, oh, we have all this money, this and that, and the out. And then I go back to my hotel that night, and I'm like, I'm literally doing the same thing. I go back to the United States, and then I hand out my money to banks, or I hand out my hand to banks and to investors and to private equity, and just like, give me money. Like, I'm begging for money. Like, it's just a different skill, but we're all just looking to the next person above us and saying, hey, help me out. I don't know. It was kind of a weird thing. Like, you're begging
for money.
I'm kids as well.
Yeah, those kids look at you as an American, thinking like, you've got it made. I'm like, in their definition, like, that's as good as it gets. So, you know, we're blessed to live in this country. We're blessed. I'm not comparing us to anything like that, but I do think it's all about perspective, right? Like, you look at banks, you look at investors, and you know, and it's really everybody's looking for help, right? Everyone's looking for a handout, right? And it's needed, you know. I think 2023, by all means, every business owner that I talk to, from whether it be another competitor, you know, people who own Crumbles, people who own other concepts, friends of mine who own fairly large businesses, they're like, dude, 2023 was a very difficult year. You know, like, one of my buddies, he is the president of a bank, credit union. They have, I think they have 30 or 34 locations throughout the Southwest. And he's like, dude, last year was one of the most difficult years in banking since the 08 recession, but nobody's talking about it. Like,
our Cisco rep said that he's been there for a decade or so, said that we've never had this many companies be passed through.
My rep told me the same thing. He said that it's been a long time since we had this many accounts shut down because businesses were going under.
Nobody is talking about. I've been looking kind of into the, I don't know, this is probably a YouTube video or something. It's like how the economy or the world, whatever, goes through cycles. And every 20 years, you know, you have a good economy, and then it kind of slows down, and then it's a bad economy, and then it speeds back up. And it's like, we're in that bad economy. And they said, looking at the, what the hell is it, the top 500, the Inc. 500, like 70% of those companies are founded during the hard times. Because if you can make it during the hard times, you can make it during the good times.
Yeah.
During the good times, you're kind of fat and happy, and you don't grow lean, which honestly is the mistake that I made with 30 Bill, because we were selling so many freaking franchises. It's like, oh, we have unlimited money. That's like, that was dumb. We grew in the happy times the first year, and then the economy started shrinking and tightening. Anyway, I just thought that was very interesting. I do think that we are in a, you know, an economic downturn or tightening, whatever it is, and taking through this, pretty well set up.
Yeah, and I think for me, talking to other business owners, franchisees from other brands, even franchisees in my brand, you know, that opened or they're going through these last 3 to 6 months and they're like, oh, this is a lot harder than I thought. I'm like, it is, but it isn't always this way. Like you said, like, you've got, you know, you've got good times and bad times in business. And due to the economy, I've looked at a few things, and it says about every 8 to 12 years, America has a recession of some kind or inflation. Right? We had it during the dot-com boom, then we had it in 08, then we had about 11 or 12 years of things going really well, then 2019, 2020 hit, the pandemic, that changed things, and then we got through that, and here we are in 2023, kind of a consequence of COVID, right, inflation and all that stuff and everything else, But yeah, I mean, I think about every 10 to 12 years, realistically, looking back to the last 50, 60 years, you know, every decade and a half, we have something like this, you know, and it's easier said than done to get through this, right? Because when you're in it, you're like, this is as bad as it gets. It's terrible. And you just feel like your walls are closing in on you all the time, right? But it's you're thinking the small picture. You're thinking like about today and making payroll next month versus what's the 5-year plan? What's the strategy, right? And the thing I always remind myself of, like, we've all read Shoe Dog. We've read the book on Steve Jobs, Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos. We've all read these books. Like, the first 25 chapters of every one of these books is like, I was literally eating shit sandwiches and praying to make payroll, right? And then
nice success. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing I think with social media is people see the good things on social media. So they expect, oh, you were successful. things look easy. I want to be that. And then they try to become business owners of like, I can't even afford to register my LLC. How did you do this? You're like, well, look, it takes time, find a mentor, right? And cross your fingers and literally you have your back against the wall most of the time. You know, people don't show that side as much on Instagram or social media, but I think that I've learned more in my life from difficult times and struggle than I ever did during good times, right? Like Joe Rogan says this quote that I actually love, says, I'd rather be a gardener in a warrior in a garden than a gardener in a war, right? And that soft times make soft men, hard times make hard men, right? And I think in business that can be transitioned into that phrasing as well. Like, you know, the best business owners have gone through economic turmoil, have bankrupted or come close to it or been completely broke, but they continue to endure and persevere and overcome, right? And I think for me in the last 4.5 years of running Cookie Co. with my wife, I feel like I've learned the most during the most difficult times, you know?
I think everybody generally will just like nail through it. When did you grow the most? It was, and then you're in, but when you're in the shitty time, you're just like, I can't wait to get out of it. I want to breathe. I want some space. Yeah. And so it is good to like, okay, fast forward 5 years, how am I going to view my life? You know, doing some of those kind of mental activities. Is there anything that you do on the mental health side or the mindset side on like being proactive on how do you not be crushed by the weight of the business? What do you do?
Yeah. So, I do. And, I don't want to, I guess what I'll say is what I do is I remind myself constantly, like, hey, you've been through this before. Like remind myself like, hey, don't think about today, focus on the growth side of it. Right. And just reminding myself, like when I, like, for example, like most of my life, I didn't realize what it was. I just thought like, oh, this is normal. Everybody feels this way. But like I struggled with like depression, anxiety, and ADD like my entire life. And I wasn't diagnosed until I was married in college. It was my junior year of college. And my family was like, I'm going to talk to a counselor because this feels off. I started hearing about people taking like Adderall for ADD and for focusing. And I'm like, wait, you have a hard time focusing too. Okay. So I guess that I'm not alone, right? There's other people who feel this way. So I go and talk to a counselor and he's like, hey, you have depression, anxiety, and ADD, you know? And I'm like, all right, so what do I do? And they gave me some medication. They just gave me Adderall. I took it for about a month, and I was like, I hate how I feel. I feel like a different person. So I, for the past like 12, 15, 16 years now, I guess, I've been kind of trying to figure out how to utilize these things as almost like a superpower, to be honest, how to use ADD. And I saw this guy who did this research, and he says that attention deficit disorder, ADD, he's like, it's not a deficit. He's like, it should be called attention displacement disorder because if you find something that you're passionate about, you can be hyper-focused, right? And I think that's for entrepreneurs who struggle with ADD. Like, look at it that way. Like, you have attention displacement disorder. Like, put me in a classroom and teach me about biology, I'm going to struggle. I'm going to have a hard time sitting there listening to your lecture. But put me in a classroom that allows group breakout sessions discussing business practices, I could lead that group and be stoked and be super successful there, right? And so I've been consciously trying to figure out how to utilize that as a superpower, but then also on the depression anxiety side, you know, like one of the things I've tried to focus on is like depression comes from focusing on the past, anxiety comes about worrying about the future or the unknowns, right? And just remind myself, like, be in the present. Don't focus on the past, don't focus on the future. Be in the present, be mindful and work towards the future. And just remind myself, like, you're not alone. Like, millions of people have done this. Millions of people go through this. Like, this too shall pass, right? Because it is very easy to focus on the current state, the current situation, right? Rather than what's the plan for next week, let alone 5-year plan, you know? So that's really what I remind myself often on that, you know? Like, this too shall pass.
Yeah, I mean, changing the perspective, like going, again, I was kind of relating somebody on the street begging for money. I'm like, dude, that's all the hell all of us do. We're just asking other people for money. But it's obviously a different skill. And to also just, I mean, kind of sitting back in your life or my life or anybody's life, most people's life in the United States, like you could get 1 billion people that are alive today. And if they had your life, they would consider their prayers answered. Sure. And you look at it like that and you're like, well, then why the hell am I bitching? You know, like, I have everything in the world that this other person wants. Why is it not enough for me? You know, Those little activities of the perspective chain, I think are awesome.
For sure.
A little bit. I think you and I have a very unique relationship. We talk super often.
Yeah.
We're direct competitors, literally direct competitors. And it's like, this is my box pricing. This is my lender. This is who I'm our advisory contracts. I mean, we share everything. And not once have I felt like, oh, is this stock going to be good for my business? You know, it's been so positive. One, to have somebody there that listens to me, bitch.
Sure.
And then two, one that understands me and that's going through something similar. And then also that we could help each other on the business side. And it's not like, there's no way it's taking revenue from one of my stores to give it to your stores or vice versa, right? It's pretty uncommon that direct competitors are chatting all the time about the intricacies of business and swapping contacts.
Yeah.
Anyways, how did you get to that mindset? And I'd love to hear a little bit about that.
I think that's a really, really valuable point. I look at it this way. Like, I've always been of the mindset, like, I don't have a scarcity mindset. Like, there's enough to go around for everybody, right? And I look at it in the way of, like, if I can work with, I can go and get advice from other people, right? I can go get advice from other business owners who own different concepts and things like that. But, like, in talking with you, I think we got connected because you were going to get it. It was the first thing that was crumbled with suing you guys, right? And I was like, hey, dude, I went through this. They tried to sue me before we even opened our store. They had all these crazy requests and demands and, you know, knock on wood, it passed about 4 years ago. We got through it and it was simple, but it was scary back to perspective. Like, we thought we were screwed at that point. We're like, dude, Goliath is coming after us. And we literally just opened up our doors 3 months ago. Like, holy crap, right? Feeling a little bit like validated, like, oh, they know who we are. Wow, cool, right? But then also like feeling very threatened, right? So talk to you during that time. And, you know, I think, like you said, like, there's something to be said about working with a competitor, right? Or communicating with your competitor and finding ways to build each other up. Because, like, if your store does $10,000 in a day, it doesn't take away from my store. Like, if you sell 100 franchises this month, there's 400 million people in this country. Like, yeah. If you are successful, that doesn't take away, like, somebody else's success doesn't take away from mine, right? Like, some people, like, get, like, negative, like, oh, this guy's got a Lamborghini, F that guy. Like, dude, be happy for him. Mm-hmm. You don't know what he did to get that, for one, and for two, like, because he has that, there's a bunch more. It's a lot. If you want one, you can get one. Like, somebody else's success doesn't take away from yours, right? Unless we're playing each other in a football game and there's only one trophy to be handed out, right? That's different. In business, it's like, we can all be successful. We can all kill it and win, right? And the more people that win, the better off we all are, right? I truly believe that. And so, yeah, dude, I definitely not a scarcity mindset, dude. I'm not afraid of what competitors are doing. You know, I if anything, I feel motivated by watching you grow. Like, you've been, when you guys were killing it and selling a million franchises, I was like, dude, that is freaking awesome. Like, why am I stuck in this spot selling this many? Like, how do I get there, right?
Really good to be like, oh, Matt's question on this. This is a great idea. And then you know what's possible also in the same circumstances that you're in, you know.
Yeah.
Mrs. Fields did this 40 years ago. It's Matt's doing it right now. I can probably do that.
Yeah.
So anyway, I really appreciated that about you, and I really enjoyed our relationship because it's been so open, and man, it's been great just to
meet
somebody else that knows what I'm going through, you know, in the same industry.
Well, if anything, dude, I would encourage business owners to reach out to the competitors and try to create a relationship. Because, like I said, if you own a solar company, odds are a guy who owns a bank or a contractor or somebody, he may have similar stresses, but very, very different actual issues that, like, you're facing, right? So it's like, odds are, and I truly believe in being vulnerable, because, like, you're never the only one feeling this way. You're never the only one going through this or who has gone through this. So, like, reaching out to a competitor and be like, hey, dude, Bennett, I wanted to reach out to you. My name is Matt. I'm the founder of Cookie Co. Just want to introduce myself. And I see what you guys are doing. Really admire what you're doing. You know, I'm not sure what you guys are, your five-year plan is or what some of your struggles are, but we've got a lot of things I'm trying to work through right now. Like, would you be open to grabbing coffee or grabbing lunch just as a friend? I just want to chat with you and kind of see what you're doing and what's working for you. Like, I don't want to do recipes. I'm not trying to get anything from you, but just looking at, like, Who's your manufacturer for boxes? Who does your bases? Who are you using for distribution? Oh, we were using US Foods. We just switched to Sysco. We kind of price them personally. Okay, right? Like those things, like me getting a better margin from Sysco because you're using them versus me using US Foods. Like me saving money on my end doesn't take away from you. Like,
I think that's the big thing. Is people don't, they see the win lose when it's like, you know, when the economy, man, I just had this conversation maybe 2 days ago. Somebody's talking about a very wealthy church building all these buildings and this. And it's like, man, how much money went into that when I could have gone to something else? It's like, that's one way of looking at it. Or you can look at how many legitimately millions of jobs were created, you know, sure, to go build all of these different things. It was like a conversation on religion should be taxes. And none of that really mattered. But it's like, well, look at all the jobs that were created. How many people could now feed their families because they made these buildings for people to worship, whether you believe in that religion or not. It did uplift the entire economy. And last year, you know, I saw a bajillion memes on how Taylor Swift's concert was keeping the economy close. But it's like, that's cool. Like, she generated $1 billion plus in revenue on a tour, or multiple billion dollars. Rather, they're like, oh, do we need entertainment? It's like, yeah, like, look what it did, how many jobs did that create? And it is, if you sell more cookies, more jobs are created. If we sell more cookies, more jobs are created. It doesn't mean that we're taking from each other. That's just a different mindset that we're
typically. Well, let me ask you this. So we have franchisees to ask that, like, hey, like, are you concerned about the market? Are you concerned about the market being saturated, right? And I'm like, no, I'm not. I actually want the market to be saturated. They're like, why would you want there to be more cookie shops? I'm like, A, it proves the demand, right? It proves the demand. B, if Crumble and Dirty Dough and all these other brands are spending millions of dollars on commercials and advertising and marketing, right? It's less consumer education than I have to spend money on, right? Like, I have to spend less on marketing if other competitors are doing it, right? Like, there's a reason why Burger King always builds around the corner from McDonald's, because McDonald's is going to spend millions of dollars to get them to come to that corner. And when they get to that corner, they're like, ooh, there's a Burger King here. I'm going to try them too. I just saw one of their ads, or I haven't been there in a long time. Let me try them, right? Or the line is long at McDonald's. I'll go there, right? Like, it's kind of that same mindset of, like, you know, don't worry about what your competitor is doing. Find ways to benefit from what your competitor is doing. Find ways to create relationships with your competitors. Like, dude, to be honest, if I'm Crumble, I'm putting together a conference, and I'm hosting a conference to collaborate with not just people in the cookie space, but now they're into cinnamon rolls and doing Hot Pockets and things like that, right? Like, I'm doing a conference for QSR development. Nobody's doing that. Like, it doesn't exist. Like, I would love to go to a conference hosted by arguably one of the most successful quick service restaurant or quick service retail businesses or brands ever, right? Being Crumble. They're the fastest to get where they are. Like, they're say what you want about the product or about what they do and suing people, all that stuff, like, whatever. But you have to respect what they've done in the 7 or 8 years they've done it.
Yeah, in 5 years.
They're the best of all time. They are truly they're the outside of, I mean, everyone's, oh, well, Chick-fil-A is better. They are, but Chick-fil-A almost went bankrupt, and you could only find them in food courts and malls going out of business for decades. Mm-hmm. Like, they've been doing this for 25, 30 years now. Crumble's been doing it for 8. Crumble is, they're an amazing company. Now, I will argue that they're a marketing agency pushing a product, and I've said for years that if they change their product, their numbers won't change. They can go from doing cookies, and they can go from cookies to churros, and their numbers will, because they've got a loyal following, they know how to market, right? Now, with us, like, I say, we're not a marketing agency. We're a bakery that needs to do more marketing, right? And they're a marketing agency that should do more baking, but whatever, right? So, no, dude, I mean, I'm a big proponent and a big believer in all that. I think competition is great because you can learn a lot from your competitors, but also, I mean, you can add value and actually see success in working with your competitors directly, you know?
And we've had, I mean, you and I with other owners of other dessert concepts talking marketing, and anyways, it is, most people do accept that cold email or cold LinkedIn message to say, hey, do you want to link up, just to link up, because they're also kind of, you know, they're in the same spot, you know, they're that it's going good, but they think that it could go better and it's a little bit slower and this and that. It's like, we all know we need help, so to reach out, people accept that and they're like, oh, heck yeah.
Oh,
100%. Super successful. You're like, and dude, hey, man, I'm figuring this out with you, brother.
Yeah. And to be honest, sometimes it may just be a matter of they don't feel comfortable sharing that. But if you share, say, hey, look, dude, I'm going through this. And you're like, oh my gosh, thank you so much for saying that, bro. I'm facing the exact same thing. Or, hey, you know what? I went through that. This is what I found. Good luck. Like, is there anything I can help you with? Like, what are you struggling with? Like, right now it's funding. We're trying to get some funding. Hey, talk to so-and-so, right? Such and such capital. They're a great resource. They helped me out. Talk to them, right? Like, okay. And it's almost like the first time, I'll be honest, like when you and I first started talking, I'm like, can I trust this guy? Is he going to still like, is he giving me crap information to try to destroy my business, right? But then it was like, you being successful and seeing me be successful, like, we're in different markets, we're in different places, right? Like, it doesn't take away. Like, someone's success doesn't take away from yours and prevent you from being successful. You know, I mean, there's an Apple and a Google. There's an Amazon and an Alibaba. Like, they're all billion-dollar enterprises, you know? And it's like, dude, either they work together, they work against each other, or there's an M&A that takes place, right? Like, look at the PGA and Liv, right? They were working against each other, and direct enemies, lawsuits galore, and now they're merging, right? So it's like working with your competitors, there's a lot of benefits that come from that. I think it's rare, but it shouldn't be, to be honest.
I agree with you. And anyways, again, I appreciate that about you, and you've always been super easy to talk with, and it's awesome to be like, no, yeah, I know the owner of Cookie Co. He's freaking awesome. We talk all the time.
So I've had franchisees. We're talking a dirty dough as well, and I'm like, dude, Bennett's awesome. I'm like, oh, you know Bennett? I was like, I just got off the phone with him. They're like, oh, wow. I'm like, they're great. We're different. We're definitely a different product. We're both in the cookie space. I'm like, it's like comparing McDonald's to Burger King or, you know, Del Taco to Taco Bell. Like, we're similar that we both do the same thing, but we do it differently. And they're both great, you know? So
it builds a lot more trust and respect.
For sure.
Positively about a competitor rather than just trying to shit on them. Because you know that your competitors always have a positive. So if you don't ignore them, right? And be like, oh, that's great. Here's the difference is you choose. And I, you know.
Bro, I actually had a franchisee who was telling me they were talking to you. They wanted, I won't say her name, but it was her and her sister and her dad. They were doing a store. They wanted to do New York. I actually told them they're a better fit for you.
Oh, really?
I swear. Yeah, because they did not want to do any kind of baking. Or sorry, any kind of like recipes and mixing. They want a more easy, not easy, but a more streamlined system. I say, hey, we bake fresh daily, right? We bake them in-house. We mix, we do that. They're like, all right. We like them because, you know, they ship us everything and it's ready to just be put in the oven. And I'm like, if that's what you're going for, like, we're not the right fit.
Yeah.
And it's not a matter of who's a better product. It's because very rarely do franchisees are they looking like, I want to be the most passionate about my product. It's like, no, how much money can I make? And this is what I'm looking to do, right? So I'm like, Dirty Dough is a better option. I don't know if they moved on with you, but they definitely said, thank you. And I didn't talk to them again after that, right? Maybe they thought it was crazy, but.
I don't, I have no idea. We're not registered in New York. I think that's the only state we're still not registered.
Oh, you're not.
No. They recorded all these audited financials and, but.
Forever to get, we got registered in New York. We just did it for the second time now, but it's a process for sure.
That's the one state that we decided to hold off on.
Interesting.
I think we're going to do this year, maybe not. But anyways, Matt, last question for you before we wrap up. What is the legacy you want to leave behind? How do you want to be remembered?
Man, that's a tough question, dude. Because it's something that I'm passionate about. I want to be known. I tell people, like, you know, on my headstone, you won't see it, and nobody's headstone. I'll tell people all the time, go to the graveyard and look at people's gravestones and look how many of them show people's bank accounts and what kind of cars they drove.
Yeah.
None of that information matters. It says one of two things, loving husband, loving mother, loving father, loving wife, etc. For me, I want my legacy to be known that I was loyal to the relationships in my life, that I took chances, and that I built something, right? And being like building something doesn't mean that I ever finished something. Doesn't mean that I, you know, did anything. I want to be known for basically being a loyal friend, a loyal husband, a loyal father, be a hard worker and try to provide opportunities for myself and other people, right? That's why I got into franchising, right? Like, to be honest, like, with franchising, my wife and I had this, and I was like, dude, we're doing really well. Like, my family is very much blue collar. I'm like, it'd be pretty cool to be able to provide this opportunity for other families in different parts of the country. And then we had people reach out to us. That was something I was really excited about, you know? So my big thing is I just want to be known for being, you know, loyal to the relationships in my life. I guess that's the really number one thing I care about most, to be honest.
I love that. I agree with you. And franchising is a really good way to serve other people.
It is. It is.
Appreciate you being on, man.
Yeah, dude. Appreciate you, bro.
And I'll ask you, well, what's the best way to connect with you as far as social?
Just Instagram. Just my IG is the easiest, to be honest. It's just the real Matt GT. Just send me a DM or whatever. I love connecting with people. I just started doing this mentor group with about, I cut it off at 25 people. I had 25 people say they want to do it. It's free, but I'm thinking about doing a couple more. But yeah, just send me a DM. I'm always happy to connect. Love networking.
Okay. Awesome, Matt. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Bye, bro. Later.